The following program contains names, places, and events that have been anonymized or fictionalized for the purposes of protection and safety. The following program is provided for entertainment purposes only, and any commentary from the hosts are strictly conjecture and should not be held as making any definitive statements about the truth or identity of any particular individuals or circumstances. If you or a loved one are involved in an abusive relationship, please call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-7233 for support.
Hi, Hannah.
Good morning.
Happy April Fool's Day.
Happy April Fool's Day. Do we have anything in store for everyone? Should they be on alert for
some
foolishness?
They certainly should today.
We have a two-parter.
Which I know some of you hate the two-parters, right? But hear me out. First of all, sorry, not sorry. Like, be here or don't. Okay, we're committed. But also, sometimes the two-parters can be like, oh my God, I have to wait. But sometimes it's just a lot, okay? So listen, this episode is going to be totally like rom-com, like where you're going to get to the end of the episode and be like, did they just April Fool's me? This is not a Dating Detectives episode, because that's exactly what Hannah and I thought.
There was, Mackenzie, I don't want to spoil anything. I'll say it at the end. But if you are sad that this ends and you want more Dating Detectives, you can join our Patreon. It's $5 a month. We do two bonus episodes a month. And one new thing that we're doing is posting some deleted scenes if there are really, really long stories where we just don't need to include every single part. Sometimes we take stuff out. And they're going to...
And sometimes we take it out because we literally are like, we cannot say that on a main feed.
That also. But yeah, so that stuff's going to go on Patreon.
So not only do you get two bonus episodes a month, but you also get bonus content from the episodes that you heard. So it's kind of a win. This part is like a rom-com, but like the next episode is basically going to be like a thriller. So I'm going to need you to hold on to your freaking pants. And I can't, oh my gosh.
You know what? We should have started this episode by going top of the morning to ya, but we missed that chance.
So did
let's
you guys
just
see the
get
title?
Into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to Ireland, y'all.
Let's saddle up, big boy. Let's get into it.
Jenny, hi, welcome.
I'm excited to be here.
We're so excited to have you here. Do you want to go ahead and take us away with your story?
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone buckle up. I
love it when they say that.
I am going to tell this story exactly how I experienced it. So you will see the true shock of what happened to me and I will take it away. So I am in my mid-30s. I have been dating off and on more recently, a lot more regularly, I'd say in the last 3 years or so. I unfortunately experienced a pretty rough relationship in my early 20s that really turned me off to dating. I had a lot of healing to do, but also I was really scared of picking another horrible guy. So that's how this, of course, started on the lovely app called Tinder. Yeah, great. And so one of my close friends, she would usually come over Friday nights and we would drink and watch trashy television and just kind of veg out and complain about our weeks. And she is a very much hopeless romantic, and she's married. So she has really focused on my love life.
It's like her project.
And, you know, so she convinces me to get back on Tinder. And so I download it. I am just swiping. And I remember seeing his profile very vividly, because I thought it was fake.
Oh, really?
I am so used to seeing these, you know, the pictures aren't very clear. Oh. And there's not a lot in the bio.
It wasn't like he was like too hot.
Yes. I could see that he was good looking, but the pictures were just very pixelated. And so I just was like, surely no one really would put these horrible pictures up there expecting to get anything quality from it. But his profile basically said, Irishman in Atlanta, construction foreman and dairy farmer back home. And then the last line said, just be nice. And for some reason, that last line is what made me swipe on him. I just thought, oh, well, you know, I'm nice. Yeah. And I'm glad he wants people to be nice. Because I think in my profile, it just says, like, my love language is returning your shopping cart to the corral.
Oh, that's good. You know? It's the same idea. And it's like, be a good person.
It shows that you're nice and you're caring. And so I was like, oh, he put that in his profile. I'll just swipe, fully expecting nothing to come of it. The next morning, it's like 8 or 8:30 in the morning. And I wake up and see that he messaged me. And he said, I'm a taller girl. And so he said, hey there, I'm 6'2". I hope that that is tall enough for you. But the real question is, can you understand an Irish accent?
I like an Irish accent.
That's a confident opener that it is. Would work on it,
me. Just wait. He knew what he was doing. So that's the starter. And I'm waking up. So I can't be clever back to him. And I just wrote, maybe. And maybe. He said, well, the tough thing is, I am a tourist. I am leaving town tomorrow. So you just have tonight to fall in love with me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And okay. Got the ick.
You're like, okay, this feels like written by a romance novelist.
Yeah. Like, what is this? You know, but then also in my head, I'm like, hey, European. I've always wanted to go on a date with someone with an accent. And so I wrote him back. I said, well, those are some high expectations. And he said, it'll be easy, just you wait.
Oh.
And I really clever.
You're
and
like,
I am texting the friend from last night and I'm explaining it to her. And I'm like, hey, remember that Irish guy? I'm talking to him now. I might meet up with him. And she, of all people, are like, absolutely not. What are you thinking? And I was so shocked that she was against it. And she was just like, well, what are you doing? Because he's clearly not going to stay here. This isn't going to lead anywhere. And I, of course, told her, you know, like,
what if it's just like one fun night? Like, yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
I said, if anything, this is going to have a good story. So he and I are talking back and forth. And he is basically like, you know, if you would fancy a drink, I would be so flattered.
If you would fancy a drink.
If you fancy a drink.
Fancy a drink. Guinness. I cannot do an Irish accent if you can't tell.
It's okay. I can't either. But yeah, we were talking and I basically explained to him. I said, you know, also, since you are a tourist here and since it's Tinder, I said, I feel like I need to lay this out here. I said, if you're looking for a sure thing, that is not me. So please, by all means, look elsewhere. I am about an hour away from Atlanta. And so he knew that. And he actually immediately was like, oh, well, I'll come to you. And I thought that was so
green flag.
Odd. But the problem is he had a concert to go to that night and it wasn't going to get out till late. So he really wouldn't be at my place till like 10:30. And that's not exactly a good time for me to invite an international stranger into my home.
Essentially, you're a hostel at that point. Like, he's like, okay, I'm...
Exactly. So we were talking back and forth and he explained to me, he goes, I totally understand about there's no such thing as sure things. He goes, I actually really appreciate that you said that. How about we just call it a maybe? And I said, sure. And he explained that one of his good friends from Ireland had just flew in to join him on this trip. They were going to go sightsee. So they were going to go see some breweries that day. And he was going to check in with me later. And I was just excited. You know, I just thought this is going to be fun. He seems like a really nice guy. And just went in with it with an open mind. I had told a few friends and asked them, am I crazy? And they said yes.
But maybe he's also, maybe he's the leprechaun at the end of your rainbow.
Oh my goodness.
He's Irish.
He's Irish.
But also I feel like it's important to say I am the product of a very romantic story. My mom is Asian and my dad was stationed in her country. They met and within 6 weeks were married.
Wow.
And they are, I think, almost 40 years.
Still madly in love.
It's funny. I have this ingrained in my blood of being this like hopeless romantic.
Being romantic requires hope. It's a beautiful quality.
So that's why I was just like, let's see what this Irishman can do. And so he gives me his WhatsApp number. We start chatting. I explained to him, I was like, how do I know that you're not just some like Irish murderer that is here attacking American women?
Yeah, because serial killers can be
Irish.
And
he's like, that's a good question. And so he sent me, I kid you not, he sent me a picture of his ID.
Wow, really?
Nothing blocked out.
Okay.
Picture of his ID. And he said, give this to whomever you need to. so that you feel safe tonight in case there's any murders.
In case there's any murders.
Everyone has your ID.
I was very shocked. I was like, oh, wow. Like, and then his WhatsApp account was connected to his business. So I was like, well, this is real. This is his real name. I had, at that point now, his first and last name. I had his address, obviously his phone number, his birthday, because it's on his license. And so we start talking back and forth, exchanging a little bit. And one of the very first things I said to him is, do you have a wife, a secret family? Are you in a relationship? Does someone think they're in a relationship with you?
Like, think they're in a relationship?
Such a good question.
It's a valid question.
That's a great question.
And this is not my first rodeo on online dating. I know the questions to ask. And, usually you can kind of tell on how they respond. And he very quickly said, I have 3 children, no wife as of 2017. And he said, we divorced. And again, this was all in September, end of September, last fall.
Oh, recent.
This is very, very recent. Yeah. And so he told me that I was very confident in his answer because I was like, oh, wow. Like, I don't care about the kids. Again, I'm in my early 30s. And so I just was like, okay, again, going into it with an open mind. It's just a drink and some good conversation.
It's been a big couple of weeks for the Dating Detectives. We had our first live show. Mackenzie came to Los Angeles and we recorded in studio for like 2 days straight, not to mention the day before we prepped for the live show. Let's just say it was very difficult for me to stay nourished, especially in a healthy way. I was like ready to do takeout all the time, spend too much money and not feel great because usually when I do takeout, I get fast food and then I don't feel as good. But honestly, Hungry Root came at the perfect time, and I'm very, very excited to talk about them because I loved the whole experience. So Hungry Root feels different to me than most other food delivery type services because it uses a point system that helps you grocery shop as well as meal prep. So you're not just getting the recipes that you need to make a meal. So when you go on the website, you can pick a meal that you want to make and the serving sizes that you want. And it'll send you all of the ingredients for that recipe, as well as how to make it, how long it's going to take. So easy. I just made my friend's taco fajitas with chicken. And then I got shrimp too. And I threw it in there. They were like, oh my God, chef, thank you. So those recipes might be like 15 points, but if you're getting points, you can use them for individual groceries too. So I stocked up on oat milk, some granola bars, just like the basics. But it was so easy and I loved the process. So it's all fresh, high quality groceries, very simple recipes or essential supplements. I'm also currently drinking a protein mocha latte that I got from there. You just take a fun short quiz and Hungry Root will get to know your personal health goals and what you like to eat. And then they'll build a personalized cart with all your grocery needs for the week. And they give you delicious recipe recommendations to put those groceries to use. You can customize it though. So if you see what they put in there and you're like, I actually want this instead of that, easy. You see the point system. It makes it very easy to customize. Fresh produce, high quality meat and seafood, healthy snacks, smoothies, sweets, ready to eat meals, kids snacks and meals. Did I get some kids snack packs of cookies? Yes, I did. And I would do it again. Vitamins and supplements as well. So far, I've made the fajitas and tacos. I made a chicken couscous with amazing veggies and it was so easy. And I had this acai, granola little pack that was very easy. And like I said, I'm drinking my protein latte and it's so good. I really like it. You should check it out. So right now, Hungry Root is offering the Dating Detective listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/TDD to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/TDD. And don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you. Let me know if you try it.
We have a lot in common. I own my own business as well. And so he does. He's also, like I said, he's a dairy farmer. And he was actually in the U.S. to see some country artists. This was his dream vacation was to come and see, sightsee, and go to however many concerts he could, all of that. As I'm talking to him, and also I'm talking to my friends, they're like, hey, why don't you just go to Atlanta? You know, that'll save him the travel time. You could go there and get there so that you guys can meet right after the concert, have some time with him. And one of my friends specifically said, you know, feel it out. If you don't feel comfortable, you can always come home. And she goes, or, you know, she even said, I'll use my points to get you a room. Be safe. You know, and I have amazing friends, I have to say. And
you told them all, you really covered your bases.
I did. They all had my location. They had his picture, his driver's license, his business name, his on the Google page, like everything. I actually went out and bought mace before this date.
She's proactive. I like it.
I really tried. And I told him straight up. I said, I'm coming armed. I have mace in my purse.
Don't try nothing.
Yeah, I wanted to let him know. And when it comes to dating, because of my unfortunate dating history, I don't have the best confidence. But for some reason, this man, I was very witty. I was very confident and strong in talking to him. I know that that was definitely appealing to him. And I basically, like, I was like, I'm not here to mess around. And because of that, he shared his location with me. When we decided to meet up at a bar in Atlanta, when I was on my drive up there, he actually sent me his location. And he said, I want you to know, here's my location. So I'm not standing you up. If I'm late meeting you, I want you to know when I'm on my way, everything like that. He said, I just want you to know that I respect you. He was very shocked that I was willing to drive an hour to him. I could tell he didn't have a lot of self-confidence, which is funny given how direct and strong his messages were to me. But when it really came down to it, he couldn't believe.
He was nervous.
Yeah, he couldn't believe that I was willing to come meet him. He certainly couldn't believe that I was willing to drive. I explained to him, I was like, we drive everywhere here. I regularly drive all the time. An hour is not anything. I didn't realize until later that an hour drive in Ireland is like half the country.
That's how I feel in LA too. People are like, you're driving 45 minutes?
I'm exactly.
Like, that's the shortest drive.
That's like 4 miles. What do you mean?
Exactly. Yeah. And here in the South, obviously, it's so much more spread out. You have to drive to get to certain, especially to bigger cities. So I did not mind it at all. But he really couldn't believe. He kept saying he was so flattered, all of this stuff. So we decided to meet at a bar. And once I fully confirmed, yes, let's meet here at X time, you know, blah, blah, blah. He was like, oh my gosh, this is really happening. And, you know, like that nervousness was attractive to me because I was like, oh, like he really, you know, because he just put up such a front at the beginning.
Yeah, it's cute when they're a little insecure. That it's like, oh, I made you a little nervous.
Exactly. And so I, to help him like get over his nerves, I sent him a picture of me, like no makeup. And I was like, this is what I look like, like just so you know. And because also in my head, I had nothing to lose. This man is from a country 4,000 miles away. I will most likely never see him again.
I like that mindset, though, of like, I have nothing to lose.
If it's international, it doesn't count.
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Why not, right?
And, that's what I say when I'm on trips, too. I'm like, but calories don't count.
They don't.
On vacation.
They don't. I'm in LA. The calories don't count here.
Yeah, and so it was a very healthy mindset for me because I have anxiety. I'm on medication. I'm in therapy. I'm a very highly anxious person. So having that mindset of like, this is just a one night, go have a drink with a very attractive European and have a good story to tell after it. That's how I looked at it. And so I'm getting ready to leave. I send a picture of my outfit to like everyone. Like, this is the last outfit I might be seen in.
Oh my God. But hold on. Can I just acknowledge the fact that number one, she's like, okay, what do I have to lose? So she's willing to take that risk, but also she's taking the safety precaution. So it's
trust,
like,
but verify.
Trust, but verify.
Personified.
100%. I like it.
It is what we have to do.
And I love the idea of taking precautions, but also being like, I'm willing to take this risk. And I feel like there's a good balance you have to have there. So I like that so far.
Well, thank you. I'm glad. Yeah, that's how I felt. And so I sent him the picture of me in my outfit. And I said, just so you know, my friends know that this is my outfit and they know that this is what I'm wearing. They have your information. And he was just like, oh my gosh, you're gorgeous. And he goes, yes, I want you to make sure you feel safe. And so like all green flags, all really happy. And I get in the car, and once I park is when the anxiety hits me. And I'm like, what the hell am I doing? I'm about to meet this international stranger an hour away from my home, late on a Saturday night. I think it was like 10:30, you know? And so I'm walking in and I'm looking for him. I send him a text, and I kid you not, it's like, I turn around after texting him and I see him up the steps of this bar, and he's looking right at me. And it was like a Hallmark movie.
Aww.
It was like everything stood still. We were just us, locked eyes, and like breath took away. Aww. I've never in my life experienced it. And he's clearly very nervous. He actually like trips over the table. As he comes up to me, we hug, he kisses me on the cheek. His Aww, accent so is just cute. As dreamy as I expected it to be. He is extremely handsome. It was just, I was just
Was he amazed. Actually 6'2" also?
Yes, yes.
Didn't lie about his height. It's a green flag.
And so we sit down and talk, and there's no awkward silences. It was a really fun conversation. He got up at one point, said he was going to go buy us drinks, and he actually stood up and kissed me on the lips.
Aww.
And just walks away, which that's never happened to me. So I was just like dumbfounded, and I'm glad he like Hallmark. Turned away and walked so he didn't see my face. And so I took that chance to like check in with my friends, let them know I'm alive, let them know that.
Alive and well.
And yeah, very dreamy, you know, and I look up at him at the bar, he's in line and he's on his phone. And I'm like, oh, okay, you know, he's probably checking in with his friend, whatever. And then my phone dings, and he sent me a message from the bar. And he goes, this bar is moving very slow, I'm sorry. And then he said, you are absolutely gorgeous.
Aw, I love him.
And I am, like, swooning.
Of course.
You know, when does this happen? And so he gets back, and we start talking, and we're talking about our lives. And so he mentioned that he's divorced. He has 3 children, not young, you know, kind of like heading into teenage years. And he is co-parenting. And I did ask, I said, you know, is it amicable? And he said, yes, as much as could be. He explained that he is the primary supporter of them. He didn't talk much about his ex-wife.
Which is a green flag on the first date.
Yeah, exactly. It was fine. And now, and first date, you know, like, I don't need to know. And so we're talking a little bit about that. I'm telling him about my life. He starts showing me pictures of his farm back home and how beautiful, like the greenery and the scenery in Ireland. He's not in a, you know, like in Dublin area. He is more green. Up to
Are
the
you
countryside.
Like, let me just head on Amazon, get some rain boots so right? I can move on down
like
to
ready
the farm.
To go.
Exactly. And I'm just head over heels. But I think what it's important to say is that it felt reciprocated. You know, he was very nervous. He was very much interested. You know, I have a background in psychology, and so I always focus on body language and all that kind of stuff. And it was very, very much matching me.
Every single one of my friends has told me to read A Court of Thorns and Roses. Have you heard about this fairy smut book, Mackenzie?
Yeah, but I have no idea what it is. But now that I know that it's smut, I kind of want to read it.
Well, I started it and everyone's like, you got to get through the first book. You got to get through it. And it's taking me a long time because honestly, I'd rather just listen to my Dipsy stories. But if you're into that kind of thing, like a romance novel, fairy smut, honestly, I don't even think you have to be into that stuff to like Dipsy. But Dipsy, we talk about it a lot. It's one of my favorite little ads to do because I've been a listener long before this podcast started. It's an erotic audio app that lets you bring all of your fantasies to life in a really healthy, self-love centered way.
I like the wellness part of it too. Like it's meditation and stuff. And it's like, you know, self.
I
like,
think sex
really
is meditation. Just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
No, sexual wellness is a part of wellness. I've learned about myself since listening to different Dipsy stories because sometimes somebody will say something that I'll be like, oh, that was really sexy. And I never would have thought that I thought that was sexy or.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah. It gives you that. The words for ways that you feel. It's a very good thing. And I think communication around our sexual life is something that the world could get a little, could move a little forward on. And Dipsy's doing that in a really, really sexy way. And honestly, if you love the romance of this week's story, then you will love Dipsy. It's taking the thrill of romance novels and weaving them into addictive audio entertainment. Like, imagine the steamy, heart-stopping moments and the happily ever afters that we're all dreaming of, at least that I'm dreaming of, and they're brought to life in really beautifully produced spicy stories. And Dipsy isn't just about pleasure anymore. It's about getting lost in captivating narratives that, like...
Well, and experiencing those feelings, right? Like, really allowing yourself to experience those feelings.
A world where romance novels meet captivating storytelling. I'll tell you, when I was single, I listened to so many romance novels and it kind of filled a void. And I listened to Dipsy too, because it was like, I don't need anybody. I just need a little spicy spice from Dipsy and then I'm on my merry way.
For listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial. Free 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/TDD. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipseastories.com/TDD. dipsystories.com/TDD. Go check it out.
So the bar's closing up and he asked if I would like to go for a walk. And I was like, yeah, sure. And so we get up and he asked for permission to hold my hand, which I thought was really adorable.
So
and
sweet.
So he grabs my hand and we start walking and there's like a beautiful water fountain close by and walking hand in hand, talking. And then we get to the water fountain and he just kind of turns me around and kisses. And it was like a leg pop, stars, fireworks. Like,
I hate this because I know, like, she's on this podcast. So, like, yeah. I don't want to like this.
I know. Stop. Just stop the story here.
Can we just end it? Okay, yeah. Great. Thank
and
you.
Then they get married and they
goodbye,
live on a
Jenny,
farm
so
and
nice
they
to meet
Irish
you.
Potatoes. Happily ever after.
Thank you for sharing. Goodbye.
Exactly. I wish. I really wish I could. So, yeah, he kisses me and it's one of those things like once it's over, we just kind of look at each other and we're like, whoa, you know, I can't stop smiling. And as we're walking, he's talking to me a little bit more about his dating past. So he got divorced in 2017. He said pretty closely after that, he entered a relationship with a woman. It lasted 14 months. After that one, though, he has not dated. He said he really has taken the last several years to focus on himself, his businesses,
that's
his
fair.
Children.
Yeah, and you that's kind fair. Of are in the same space as that.
Exactly. Too. I, you know, and that's the thing is I was like, hey, we match that. Like I took off time to take care of myself, all these things. And so he basically is like, I just recently started dating again. He said in May of last year, he got on the apps, matched with a woman, and they went on a few dates. It was huge for him because he described himself as a hermit up until that time. And he got out of his social anxiety to get out, meet this woman. And so he's like, you're only the second woman that I've gone out with in several years. And I was like, oh, well, I'm flattered, you know, glad to be here. And
that also explains maybe why his pictures weren't like up to dating app par if he's not like used to being
on
them.
He hasn't been on there in a while. Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. So as we're talking, I'm just like, hey, I am not ready to say bye to you, but I also don't want to go to another bar. You know, I want to be able to, I wanted to talk to him and hear his accent, really.
I only have one night to fall in love with you.
Exactly, right? I have to follow through with your challenge. I'm very competitive. And so I asked him, I said, you know, no promises of anything, not, please do not assume anything. And I said, but would it be okay if we like go back? He had an Airbnb with his friend. His friend was out downtown drinking and going to bars and stuff. And so I was like, is it cool if we just go back there, we hang out some? And I'll never forget, his eyes just got big. He took a step back and he's like, really? And could not believe that I wanted to spend more time with him. And it was very endearing. You know, I was just like, man, this man has really been hurt. He has no confidence. And it's sad that he doesn't believe that a woman would want to spend longer than 2.5 hours with him. And I was like, yes. And I again reiterated, not expecting anything, you know, this is nothing. I'm really having fun getting to know you. And so we start heading back. When I got to the Airbnb, we are talking on the couch, just, you know, getting to know each other more. And then one thing leads to another. And so, you know, I'm not here to lie.
Hannah's like, did you kiss?
I think we are no shame at all.
It was one of those, I guess all I could say is like the rumors of European lovers. It was a really good night, is all I will like say. This. It was a very good night. And at one point.
Hey! Do the Irish dance.
Yeah, the Irish jig.
At one point in the middle of the night, his friend walks in on us, like walks into our room.
And you're and all willy-nilly?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I am shocked. I jump off. I try to hide myself.
Oh my God, that's so embarrassing.
I jump off and try to hide myself.
He's staring there in the doorway, not saying a word.
What?
And yeah. And Darren
Excuse me, sir. I'm in the middle of something. Can you not?
Did you? Yeah, Darren is my guy, and then Charlie is his friend, and so Darren's like, Charlie, like, what the hell? And then Charlie finally, like, all I could assume was he was so drunk and like stumbled in, and I mean, he had just landed in the U.S. that day, so you know, he was tired, whatever. So I'm laughing because again, I'm never gonna see these guys again. So why does it matter? Wait, he just walked in, you know, and
hold
so,
on. Hannah's confused. Hold on.
So what? Darren is your guy and he's leaving the next day to go back to Ireland or just to go to another place.
Okay. So this was a Saturday, right? Uh-huh. Darren came in on a Wednesday by himself. So he's been in the US for a few days by himself. And then Charlie flew in to meet up with him, and then they were going to sightsee.
So they were leaving to go to a different state. Like, they weren't leaving the country. They're staying, like, they're just traveling to another state.
The U.S.
Yes. So they were going to head to Tennessee, see Graceland, you know.
Oh, okay. Like, they're going
stuff.
To explore more of the U.S.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was, they had a pretty extensive list for the next few days there, and they were going to be flying back to Ireland that following Wednesday. So they had a few days
then I realized we also didn't talk about where. So Charlie's drunk, he leaves, I hope, right before you start cuddling.
Oh yeah, so
you didn't say where he went
when he was there. Did everybody be like, Charlie, like, you gotta go, guy, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, fella? so Darren is the one that was like, Charlie, what the hell? And that's when he just kind of like was like, oh crap, like, what am I looking at? And then awkwardly closed the door and went to his room. And I am dying. I think it's hilarious. Darren was very concerned, thinking that I would be offended or embarrassed or anything.
Which is sweet, to make sure you're comfortable.
And it was very nice. It was very nice that he cared that much. But I'm laughing because I'm like, I'm never going to see you guys again. This is just going to be another funny point to the story.
Wow.
And so the night's ending, he pulls me in. Like I said, I have really had a string of emotionally unavailable men that don't understand. I guess the best term is aftercare. And like, you know,
that is a 100% need for many people. Yeah.
And so he pulls me in, holds me with both arms, and he says to me, I am so happy.
Oh,
and
I like
it was
I like
super nice. We fall asleep. That next morning, he's in the shower. I'm texting my friend and I'm like, that was the best night of my life. I don't want to say bye. Like, what can I do? Do I just let this go and let it be? And I explained to her how he's going to be still in America for the next few days. And he does have to come back to Atlanta to fly out. And so I, again, am trying to be like, am I crazy for wanting to propose another meet? And she's like, no, he can say no. You know, at the end of the day, why not? You know, and so when he gets back, I said, you know, I've had a lot of fun getting to know you. I would absolutely love if we could see each other again. And again, eyes get big. He's so shocked. And he's just like, I think he called me stupid, but in a just, like in a joking way, because he just couldn't believe
that you
I
wanted to hang out
him
with
again.
Him again.
Yeah, and he's so like, you've already driven an hour for me. You want to drive that again, and like all this stuff. And again, I'm like, yes.
Like, yes.
Were you, do you not remember what happened last night? Like, you know? And so he's like, okay, well, let me talk to Charlie about it.
Charlie's like, hey, I saw what was going on. You should see her again.
So he goes into Charlie's room. I'm getting dressed. And Darren comes back out and he's like, hey, Charlie wants to meet you. And I jokingly said, oh, you mean with clothes on?
I was about to say, like meet and, me or meet, you know, me?
Have to make light of the situation.
Of course.
And I won't go in there. And Charlie, this time, Charlie's in bed. And I was like, oh, good. Roles reversed.
You're playing this so cool.
What do you do? Like, all you can do is make fun with it.
Yeah,
like, you
I love it.
What are you supposed to do?
No, like, you're, but I feel like some people would be like so uncomfortable. And you're just like, let me make a joke. I'm chill. Like, you're awesome.
Whatever.
It was the mindset of, I'm never going to see them again.
Yeah.
So why does it hurt? You know?
Have you or someone you know been the victim of identity theft? Literally, I've heard so many people talk about my identity was stolen, or they've been harassed or scammed, as some of the people we hear here on The Dating Detectives. So your privacy matters. Our personal information is everywhere on the internet. We're easy targets. No matter who you are, you have an email address that's easy to find, a phone number, an address that's easy
and
to find.
And if anybody knows how easy it is to find, it's Mackenzie.
Just ask me. I know. But we can protect ourselves and get peace of mind with Delete Me.
I think we don't know how much of our personal data is out there on the internet for anyone to
see. It's a lot.
So, yeah. Delete Me is really great because Delete Me finds and removes any personal information that you don't want online, and it makes sure that it stays off. So it's a subscription service. It's not a one-time thing. It removes your personal info from the largest people search databases on the website. And in that process, it helps prevent everything Mackenzie said, identity theft, doxing, phishing scams, all of that. And then it works for you it's not one time. It's always working, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information that you don't want on the internet.
It's more than just like your name. Like, you can get, literally everybody's like, oh, you don't need to know my, I don't want to share my social. Girl, all I got to do is go to the Google machine and get your social security number.
Wait, you can really find our social security number that easily?
Yes, I can find your address, your mama's address. Like, literally, it is so easy and people don't realize that. And that's because there's so many brokers out there that sell this information or whatever. Yeah, and so like, it's all being compiled by like data brokers, right? And it's sold to the highest bidders online. And anyone on the internet, anyone with a Wi-Fi connection can go to the Google machine. They can get your private details. That's how they do the identity theft thing, phishing attempt, all the things that you talked about, right? And so those are the things Yikes. That Delete Me helps with.
Well, that's the thing. Delete Me is really great for a lot of the people who come on our show if they're dealing with stalking or harassment. So you can use it for that too, to like get yourself protected against having your information available to anybody all willy-nilly. So you sign up and you give Delete Me exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. They send you regular personalized privacy reports. So they show you what they found, where they found it, what they removed. Just to put it simply, Delete Me does all the hard work of wiping you and your family's personal information off the web. It's a good step to take. It's not like it's definitely going to fix everything, but it's a very important step to take.
Yeah. And just knowing, being a private investigator and just knowing what's out there, it's why I personally recommend using Delete Me. Just
take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me. Now at a special discount for our listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/TDD and use promo code TDD at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/TDD and enter code TDD at checkout. joindeleteme.com/TDD.
So I go in there to meet Charlie, and Charlie starts asking some questions. And one of them was, Darren said, you're not from here. You know, what brought you here? And I looked at Darren and I said, well, I came to meet Darren. And Charlie goes, you drove here just for Darren? And I said, yeah. And he said, how long? And I said, an hour. And they're, again,
appalled,
they are both looking at each other so shocked.
Why are Charlie and Darren so like absurdly like were like they're so beside themselves that she wants?
Yeah, I guess nobody. Yeah, that's like a bad friend. I feel like he should be like, yeah, my friend's great. He's worth it.
Yeah,
right? I just want to know why they're so shocked. Like, why are they so shocked?
And the only thing I can think of again is that in Ireland they don't drive a lot, you know, and are very far.
So they think, wow, that's a long way you went for this guy. That's so shocking.
Where to me, it's like it's a podcast episode or like a few songs of me singing in the car and I'm already there. So yeah, that was really interesting. And then I go to leave and Darren is walking me out and he hugs me and we kiss goodbye and I get in the car. Now, of course, he and I did talk about the potential of us seeing each other again, but I get in the car and I'm like, I'm never going to see that man again. He's not going to text me. And I was fine with it. And I sent him a text just saying, hey, thanks. I had a really great time. It was great meeting you. I hope you and Charlie have fun on the rest of your trip. And he writes back a pretty lengthy flirty text, something along the lines of, last night was the best night ever. And he said, I really am crossing my fingers that we will see each other again. And I just was, again, beside myself. But I'm trying to manage my expectations. They're driving and he texts me from the car and I'm shocked. I'm like, wow, this guy still wants to talk. Like, that's crazy. And so he's telling me about the drive. And on this drive, I use humor as my coping mechanism. And I do make a lot of jokes about my anxiety. And so I think I made some sort of joke about it. And he goes, aren't we all? And I said, yeah, I mean, I'm on medication, whatever. And he's like, I am too. And at this point, he kind of briefly goes into it. He's like, I've had some tough troubles over the years. I have been in and out of some mental facilities for my depression and crippling anxiety. He goes, I'm on medication. I am doing the best that I ever have. And it's managed, you know, whatever. And again, I have a background in psychology and I'm just like, wow. This man just admitted
he's got, and vulnerable.
You know, some stuff. He is
that
on medication.
That was big to admit. That must have been really hard for him to admit.
Like, we knew each other, you know, for a day. So I'm like, wow, he's really opening up. He's telling me about medication and therapy. And like, this is such a green flag for me because it's so hard to find a man that even would admit that therapy would help in any way. And here he is saying, you know. Yeah. And so I am, again, swooning over this man. So we're talking a little bit. And then he tells me Charlie's getting upset with him because he's not paying attention on the drive. So I was like, okay.
Pay attention to me. We're here together.
I do hope that Darren's not the one driving. Yeah. Because then Charlie really has a case.
I told him, I was like, well, you got in trouble with Dad. So go pay attention. and we'll talk later. And so I end up going to bed super early, so tired. And he's like, we just got here. I think they stopped in Nashville that night. So he's like, we just got here. We're going to go out. And he said something along the lines of like, don't worry, I'll be good. And I'm like, go have fun. Like, who are you telling me for? I don't care. And that was it. And so he goes out and I woke up the next morning to a text from him at like 1 a.m. And it said, I miss you.
Aw, I love that.
I'm so mad that you're on this podcast.
But it was so sweet to me.
It's so sweet.
So we are talking about potential plans about seeing each other again. And the plan slowly kind of morphs into, well, we decided to come back early on Tuesday, so then you could join us for whatever part you're able to, and then we fly out the next day. I didn't realize until later that they actually changed their plans to come back early just so that Darren and I could see each other again.
Oh, God, I hate that she's here.
Yeah.
I don't want the story to keep
you,
going.
Jenny. We love you, but we're mad this happened.
I know.
But so, I think we've all been there, right? Where we've met somebody and we're like, oh, this is just so perfect.
Right?
And also, you're not like imagining your future with him. It's just about
you're
the fact that it's so
and enjoying
fun
it in the moment.
Yeah. Just a fun little, you know, I think Lindsay Lohan they just released a movie on Netflix about something like this where she goes to Ireland and something like this.
Oh
happens.
My God, stop.
I have not watched it because of this aftermath, but
this is so Lizzie McGuire. Like this is so,
oh my God, like Lizzie McGuire. Yeah, totally.
100%.
Dogfish.
I'm pretty sure Molly even said that to me on the call that I was Lizzie McGuire.
This is so Lizzie McGuire.
Well,
this is exciting. So why not enjoy it and see if I can see him again? So they, like I said, they change the plans. They come back to Atlanta early and I drive up to see him that night and we were going to go bar hopping and then, you know, obviously spend the night. I ended up taking off the next day. Anyways, I didn't tell him that because again, I didn't know what this was.
Yeah. Both are like changing your plans,
I don't want him to be freaked out that I took off the all next day expecting to see him. So on my drive back to him, he's again saying, I can't believe you're driving to me again, but thank you so much. And I'm so flattered. And then he has a tour at one of a more historic places in Atlanta the next day. He's like, I would love for you to join me on this tour. And okay, I'm like, wow. Like, that's a big deal.
Another way to get to see each other, just to do one more thing together.
And just a fun date activity.
Yeah, that's a nice date.
And the way he presented it too was you could tell he was setting himself up to hear no. And so he was again so shocked that I was so excited to say, like, hell yeah, I want to spend more time with you tomorrow. Like, I don't care. We're going to go on a boring tour. Like, I will do whatever to keep hearing your voice. And so I'm on my way to downtown to meet him. And he makes a comment. He goes, I can't wait to show you off on my arm.
Oh.
And like all these amazing things. And so we start going to bars. Charlie is off on his own again. And
there's no telling what Charlie's doing. Yeah, we have no idea. Charlie's Charlie.
In his own world. And so we're going to the bars and listening to music and talking and holding hands. And it just felt safe and it felt real. I get social anxiety in crowds. I am not a bar person. And I just felt very comforted by his presence. And he explained to me later on that he felt the same way. And so again, matching energy, we do finally meet Charlie. And what's interesting about it is that Darren was at the bar. And so Charlie and I see each other from across the room and he came over and immediately starts talking. And that's how I find out. I had told Darren on my way to see him that night, I said, if you haven't noticed, I'm really excited to see you again. And he says, well, that's good to hear because Charlie is very fed up of hearing about Jenny. And
okay,
I thought
that
was really cute. And again, but I also, because I've just been so conditioned to have my expectations be shattered, I assumed that he was just saying it, you know?
Right.
Well, apparently he is too.
Yeah. And so, but when Charlie comes to sit down and it's just us at the table, he immediately starts asking me all kinds of questions about like my job and what I do. And like, Darren says you do this. And I'm like, oh, wow.
You guys
like,
have been talking about me
nonstop. Yeah. And so Charlie obviously comes getting to know me. We were hitting off really well too. Darren comes back and I can just kind of see this excitement in his eyes to see his best friend and me talking and getting along.
I know that's,
you know, and so we're talking there. And then Darren and I end up going back, having another good night. No interruptions this time, I will say. But we have another great night. And so we're talking about the next day. And I am really struggling with the idea of having to say bye to him. I felt like
me
I was
too, honestly.
I know. Like I'm
right? Like, I felt like I was living this Hallmark movie. And, you know, that coupled with the fact that my parents have a similar story, but also Charlie has a story like this. Charlie actually met his now wife on a vacation in a different country.
Oh, okay.
So
Charlie gets it. Charlie gets it.
Yeah. I was like, this isn't a crazy idea for them to understand. They, you know, sometimes stuff like this happens. And so I'm getting all giddy about it. I wrote him a little card. I wrote something along the lines of, I don't know what the odds were for us meeting each other and matching. I said, but I'm really glad it happened. I've had a lot of fun getting to know you and I hope that you would like to stay in touch. And then I said, have a safe trip back to your kids' businesses, farm, whatever.
Oh, I don't
know. And I hid that in his luggage. Aww. He didn't know. And so the next morning he and I are talking and I took another chance. And I just was like, you know, I'd come see you in Ireland. And he, again, shocked face, looks at me, cannot believe it. And he's just like, no, you would never do that. And I'm like, hell yeah, I would. And I said, and then I, you know, followed up with, not just for you.
Like, I want to go to Ireland.
My family, well, it's Ireland, and my grandmother's family's from Ireland. You know,
I would like, legit I go to Ireland to follow a dude that I was like falling mad at. Like, whatever, YOLO, right? Like, I mean, YOLO. Listen, this guy is so nice. Also, and he does all the right things.
Not that it's about this, but if you have a free place to stay.
I'm just saying, like, right? All you gotta do is take the flight.
So I say it to him and he's so shocked and he's just like, I can't. Again, his words he kept using over and over with me was, I'm so flattered. And he'd just be like, yeah, like, I would love to talk to you about this. And I'm like, cool. And so we get up to start our day. We go on this tour and we even got one of those touristy photos together. And I bought it at the gift shop. And I was like, this is my souvenir. So after the tour's over, we meet back up with Charlie. We get some lunch and they're talking about their travel back. And so what I didn't know is Charlie was actually going to be flying somewhere else to see his wife and they were going to go on vacation together. So he was leaving a few hours early. So Darren asked me, he goes, well, what are you doing? I don't want to take up too much of your time if you're sick of me, like doing all these things. And here's the thing, I have had that mindset on dates and in relationships before where I've made jokes like you're going to get sick of me soon or something.
It's a defense mechanism. So
it was really
mechanism.
Interesting to have it back on me. And I was like, no, I took off the whole day and the joy on his face. Aww. And he was just like,
you did that for
and
me.
And he goes, well, how long do I have you? And I said, as long as you want until you go. And he looks at me and he goes, I want you to stay here and take me to the airport. And I was like, wow,
he
really wants
minute.
To spend every time we have together left. And I, you know, again, swoon. So we find a botanical garden kind of deal. We go, we start walking around. We're talking super romantic about our time together and how much fun we've had and all this. And at one point we sit down on a bench and I start crying and he pulls me in and he's like, no, don't do this. You know, no regrets. We knew that this was going to happen, you know, all this stuff. And I'm like, yeah. And I am embarrassed because I'm like, I'm crying over this man that I've met twice. But I had explained to him, I'm a very emotional person. I cry during commercials.
Such a roller coaster to like, fall into this kind of thing.
Connection
so quick.
Is connection. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. It is. And to have something that I have so longed for, you know, and I've gone through dud after dud. And then here's this dreamy man and he's holding me. He's comforting me. He's not laughing at me. He's not awkward because I'm crying. You know, he's handling it very well. And so we get to the airport and I park and go in with him. And we are sitting in front of the TSA check-in. Sitting on a bench talking. And again, super busy airport, but it was like it was only us two on this bench having our time together before Aww. He leaves. And he's holding me, we're talking and holding hands. And I say to him again, I said, you know, I was not lying about wanting to go to Ireland. And he goes, I know. And then here's something that I kind of wish I didn't say, but I understand why I said it in the moment. I said something along the lines of, if this were to happen and something more would come of it, I want you to know that I would go to Ireland for you. And I said that and I was like, because you have children.
Like
you
moving
have your
to
business.
Ireland for him.
And also America versus Ireland. I'm sorry. right? And he was so shocked. And when I saw that, I kind of backpedaled and I was like, I mean, I only said that because that's obviously going to be the toughest hurdle, right? Is are we going to relocate to each other or is this it? And I said, I was like, I want you to know that I would relocate. I'm not stuck here. Yeah. I would love to continue this beautiful movie of a romance.
But it's nice that you said that though, to kind of set the expectation that like, if like this doesn't have to end if we don't want
it. Yeah, we can
to.
Talk
and,
about it.
And like, what's the worst thing that
real.
Happens? And you come back to the US. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
And also getting to know him and seeing like what little self-esteem he had and like self-worth And I knew that he wouldn't say these things.
He needed
to me
it.
Yeah. Unless I said it, you know? And so I was glad to have it out there. Well, so after I said it is when I could tell some anxiety come over him. And this is where he starts to explain about his past relationship from several years ago, the 14-month one. He said that his marriage wasn't great. And then when that ended and he met this other woman, he was like, you know, I thought this was my second chance of love. I was excited. And then she broke up with him in a text message.
Oh, that sucks.
Criminal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, it gutted me. Like, it just made me, my health, mental health plummet. And he said, I've always had anxiety, but after that happened is where I spiraled. And he said, I was in and out of mental facilities. I had suicidal ideations, you know, all these horrible things. And I'm, you know, empathy through the roof, right? Sure. And I am just feeling heartbroken for this man that has experienced so much hurt. And I wanted everything to just fix it. So I'm hearing him out. And he says to me, I would give anything to be mentally strong enough because no amount of distance would keep me from you.
Aww.
And I start crying because I've never been told anything like that in my life. And he's like, sort of like going back and forth on it. I could feel like the mental torment on him of like, what am I doing? But also, yes, I should say bye to her, you know, all these things. And I'm seeing it happen in front of me. And so I am tired of crying in the airport and seeing people look at me. And he has maybe 90 minutes to get through TSA and customs and all that. So I was like, you got to go. We're going in circles here. I'm not here to fight you and convince you that you're wrong because I don't know what this is. I said, so I get it. And so we get up and hug. I could tell that he wanted to keep talking and I had to put that boundary and just stop. I was so ready to get back to my car and just lose it and sob. And and I was trying to stay so strong in front of him. And so we're hugging and we're doing this like long embrace. And I whisper to him, I said, I hope that one day you realize how worthy of love you are. And he just kind of like crumbles into my shoulder and starts crying. So now we are both crying on each other saying goodbye. And he's just like, thank you so much. This was the best time of my life. I never could have imagined. And he's like, I will never forget you, blah, blah, blah. And we say bye, I leave, and I'm crying on the way home. I get a text from him once he gets through to his gate. And he texted me, I heart you, like the heart emoji.
That's sweet.
And it's so like perfect because it's like, I love you, but he's like still appropriate after 3 days.
I lose it. I send him like a little heart hand gesture back. And then I send him like a Noah Kahan song.
That was just very fitting.
Oh gosh, what is it called? It basically goes, you are the greatest thing I've ever lost, was the words in the refrain. Yeah. And so I'm like crying on the way home and calling my friends, telling them about this and, you know, can't believe this whirlwind of the last 4 days I just had. And I get home, I take a Xanax.
I need one at this point, like right now.
Yeah. And he texts me. He had gotten to his connection. And he says, I just got your card. He went in the bag to find something and that's where he found it. And he texts me, he goes, that is the sweetest thing I've ever gotten. And does like a million heart eyes and then like the crying emojis. And I write back, I meant every word. And I go to sleep.
April Fools! It wasn't a dogfish episode. Just kidding.
It's, April just Fools. Kidding. April Fools.
April Fools for April Fools. Absolutely. So
the thing I was going to say at the beginning of the episode that I didn't want to spoil is that when we were recording this, I am not kidding you guys, Mackenzie texted me in the middle worried that maybe this story didn't have a dogfish element. I'm trying to find the text. It was like, so
this is
funny.
The wrong audience.
Yeah, she was like, I think this is just like a beautiful story. I was loving it. And then I was like, what did we say? I think we both were like, I don't think this is the end. We trust Molly.
So I texted her and I'm like, is this literally it? Like, is this the whole, because I don't get it. Like, this is sounding really good. I don't understand. I feel like I'm supposed to not like this person because it's the dating detectives, but also like, this is great. And then Tana's like, yeah, but I really trust Molly. And I'm like, that's a really good point. And so I was like, so I need to hate this person, but right now I cannot.
But yeah, so there's a lot more coming. And I mean, up until this point, there's definitely like some red flags, but I feel like they're handled pretty... Like, he responds in a way that I understand how you can.
I need to know y'all's thoughts, though. Like, what do you think is going to happen? This would be a great segue into what do you think is going to happen? Tell me, based on what you've heard so far, tell us what you think happens next.
You know what it's giving? It's giving the Lizzie McGuire movie.
Yeah, 100%. Paolo.
Which, okay, Paolo, if anyone hasn't seen, I'm going to spoil it because it came out in like 2003. So at this point, you're spoiling.
Some of you weren't even born then. It's fine.
Yeah, the... Statute of limitations is up. So I love this movie. I have a bit of a tirade that I feel about this movie. So strap in. When I moved to New Jersey as a third grader, all of our furniture wasn't in our house yet. And my mom took us to Best Buy and she was like, we're going to get a TV that doesn't have cable, but both you and your brother can pick out one DVD. And I picked out the Lizzie McGuire movie.
I
watched the Lizzie McGuire movie on repeat, like... even after our cable and furniture arrived. And I loved it. So the movie, she goes to Rome with her eighth grade field trip, even though they're all acting like they're in senior year of high school. And this guy named Paolo comes up to her at the Trevi Fountain and is like, you are a pop star. You look like Isabella. And then she sees a billboard of him and his pop star duet partner, Isabella. And it's just her, but brunette. And so then she sneaks off with him. And he teaches her how to be a pop star by like taking her to a fashion show and like teaching her how to lip sync. That's pretty much the montage. And oh, and they ride around on the scooter to the song, Bonati, whoa. It's great. Anyway, then she's going to sing with him. And it turns out that Paolo is actually the one that can't sing, even though he said Isabella secretly can't sing. And that's why Lizzie had to lip sync. But then Isabella finds out. And so she turns off Paolo's mic and he's like, this is what dreams are made of. And Isabella's like, sing to me, Paolo. And everybody realizes he's a fraud, a dogfish, if you will. And then Isabella and Lizzie sing together and Lizzie doesn't get in trouble with the girl that's on Marvelous Mrs. Maisel now, who was her chaperone. Okay, but my problem with this film, I just needed to catch everyone up in case no one had seen it. My problem with this film is that I am like, how many little girls on a field trip went to Italy?
I was 13 in eighth grade.
Okay. How many 13-year-olds went to Italy and a guy came up to them and said, you look like pop star. Come with me. I make you pop star. And then get murdered.
Yeah. Thank you. Yahtzee. Thank you. See what I mean?
I love this movie. I love it to death, but it is promoting something that we just, more people need to discuss. Because if I had gone to Rome and someone told me I look like a pop star, which I definitely wouldn't have because my braces were like, I had them way too long. But I don't know what I would have done. So
like we need to make that a new standard. Like on a scale of 1 to 10, how creepy is this guy? Like on a scale of 1 to
is
Paolo.
Up to Paolo.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he's up there in the dogfish Hall of Fame,
legit,
for sure.
Legit.
At least the worst crime was that he was off pitch, but it could have been worse.
It could have been a whole ass like trafficking situation. Like,
so to bring it back around, this guy's like the perfect fantasy and he's international, which sometimes allows us to paint those red flags green because we're like, but he's my like dream Italian
pose in different area codes, right?
There you go. My dream Irishman. And the accents throw us off.
It runs very similar because you have this international, like this guy that's like, he's international. And he's very sexy. And he's got this accent. And so you feel like this is someone that like, oh, you're like, oh, he's so hot. Right. But just like Paolo was a dogfish. I mean, this episode is on the dating detective. So draw your own conclusions.
He made her feel really good in a time where she needed to.
He told her everything that she wanted to hear and was just, everything was so great. So I, you guys have to tell us what happens next, because the next episode is next Monday. So you have a week to contemplate and we need to hear all the thoughts. What happens? Everybody give us your guesses. And the person who comes the closest is going to win the merch. The person who comes closest to their story.
But it's not just like the basics. Like, you have to be spot on with the details of his dogfish. And if you are, you'll get a prize.
I'm just dying to hear. I'm going to bribe you guys to give us your responses with merch, because I just feel like I want to know where you think this is going. If it's anything close to what Hannah and I thought when we're getting to this point in the episode and we're like, okay, what? Like, what are we doing next? And so, yeah, I'm dying to hear what you guys think. I want to hear everything. Like, go on our social, go to our Instagram it's Dating Detectives Podcast. Right? That's our Instagram. And yes. Then our TikTok, Dating Detectives Podcast. And then we're on Facebook too. So follow us on Facebook. And please share our episodes with your friends, because we get so many good responses from new listeners saying, hey, my friend told me about your podcast. And sometimes it's even like, oh my gosh, the same thing happened to me. And my friend, like, you know, it sounded similar. So she told me to listen. And so keep sharing. We really, really appreciate it. And comment, engage with us. We love connecting with you. Nothing beat the live show is really amazing, but stay engaged with us.
And email us your stories. So you can do it on the socials, like Mackenzie said. Also, we have an email address. Don't worry your little head, Mackenzie. I got it.
What is the email address? I don't know it.
What's an email? investigate@thedatingdetectivespodcast.com. Send us your stories if you have a story you think that would fit for us, or just tell us whatever you want.
Also, we're going to put we're going to have a merch drop here in the next couple months or so. And one of them, we need to put like, what's the email address? Like on a t-shirt. Oh, yeah. That'd be hilarious.
Absolutely. And then put the email address on the back.
Yeah, that'd be so smart. That's great. Mark, wait, what's the email address? Because you don't know it. It's fine.
It's all right.
Hannah saves the day every time.
We love you all.
Listen next week if you want the outcome. And this is going to be a wild ride. In the meantime, tell us what you think.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, you all so much. Have a safe April Fool's Day.
And as always,
trust your femtuition.